that happens is they find this site that we're going to. Easy to find now. But you see where all these people are going? Well, there are seven enormous, I mean really enormous pools of water going along there, okay? Seven enormous pools of water. And then here we're going to see some more pools of water. So we already have Professor Sukenik saying essence. We have the great archaeologist Yigal Yadin agreeing with him. So we have a sect, a Jewish sect, living at the time of Joshua. They are doing ritual bathing. John the Baptist is baptizing over there. This is, for the Christian world, going to be Eureka. And the excavations were done here in 1950. So they're up there, they look down here, they see this ruin, they come and excavate. It's excavated by a church father, and he has an agenda. He has an agenda because of the monastic life of the Catholic Church. He wants to have a solid foundation for that. And so whatever he finds, he puts into monastic life. So the fact that we have an enormous tower here, which is a massive structure, which means fortification, nothing at all is written about that. But see this room down here? It has no windows. Not the one there that has all the little lamps in, okay? Because I'll tell you what that is in a minute. But this room here with this room which has no windows. Can you see which one I mean? Mm-hmm. Very important. Yeah, the long one. Does anybody have any idea what that room could be? Food? Oh, you guys are clever. Thank you very much. And I'm so glad because, you see, if you don't come with an agenda, and you've been to Masada, and you've seen what storerooms look like, you immediately know that high walls and no windows means a storeroom. Your mice can't get in, your sunshine can't get in, because you need to keep the stores, right? Okay. Not for the excavation here. They find a room with no windows. You want to prove it was a monastery, then it is a scriptorium. Why it would be a scriptorium? Simple. You wouldn't want someone to be looking at the view, because then he would have no idea of writing properly. He'd be daydreaming all the time looking at the view. So you don't want your writer of the scroll to be looking at the view, so you don't have windows. So it's going to be a scriptorium. Small problem. I can't even tell you how many thousands of scrolls were found. I can tell you it's 930 texts. Mm. A text means from one book or another book, two or three from the same book, but 930. 930 texts on thousands and thousands of pieces of scroll. Mm. How many inkwells do you think that would need? How many?
Thousands and thousands.
I should think so too. Can you guess how many they found here? Well, one. For many, many years there was two, and recently they found a third.
Oh, wow.
Another problem, no writing equipment. No quills for writing, and when you prepare parchment for writing, bits fall off that you haven't written on. Guess what? In all this complex, not one single piece of parchment. They wrote on parchment. So, three inkwells, no quills, not one single piece of parchment. We're already realizing that something a little bit wrong is going on. Now, in the scroll of these guys, these essence, what they want to prove is the essence, it says that they read into one-third of the night. One third of the night means it gets dark. And if it gets dark, you need a candle. So, in that room there, they found lots and lots of candles. And therefore, that room is...
a reading room.
Exactly, a library. How could you, it can't go far room. And it makes sense. If that's where you have the scriptorium, that's where you have the library. How exactly that size could be a library for 930 texts, I don't know. So you see what's going on here. The evidence is pretty difficult to come to unless you have a prefixed idea in your head. What we're going to do is we're walking around, we're going back to see the film, and then we'll decide if we want to come back out here or not, according to, you know, if we've had enough,
etc. Okay. So where's number 11? If that's the one, where's
number 11? I showed you over there, okay, above the trees.
Okay.
Can we see it from here? I can't see it from here. We can see it from the bus.
Okay.
Enormous.
Could you do me a favor, Mark, to take a picture of me and my brother? Stand over here, looking this way. Yeah, all that with the hills in the back, the cave especially. Okay, thank you.
Is, I've been telling you what they've said, what they found is. What I haven't said is what is now proposed, what the modern historian and the modern archaeologist is proposing, okay? So, I want to go, first of all, to the scrolls before we get to that. The scrolls are all sacred texts. What do I mean by that? We have other scrolls found not far away from here that we call the Bar Kokhba scrolls. That was a rebellion in the year 135. Jewish people rebelled. At the end of the rebellion, they come and hide in the caves. And when they come and hide in the caves, they write that we find their letters. Letters from one person to another is not sacred scrolls. Okay? Everything of the 930 texts is sacred. 200 of them are scrolls that we know, that we have in the Bible, that we can relate to, and they're very often word perfect. But then there's a whole load of scrolls that are not in our Bible. Now, these are sacred texts written by somebody, and those books didn't get in the Bible. Now, one of the books that was probably one of the most important for them is a book considered heretical to read from it in the Jewish religion. Have you ever heard of a guy called Enoch?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apocalypse
and
Enoch.
And Enoch walked with God and was no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we have in the Bible, Genesis. Does anybody know how long Enoch lived?
365 days.
365 years. Does that number ring a bell? Yep.
Days in a year.
Days.
365 days in the year. This people who had the scrolls, not talking about the building area, but the people who had those scrolls, the people who were writing those scrolls,
had not one book of Enoch, but three different books of Enoch, and lots of copies of Enoch. That means Enoch was very, very important for them. And in their books of Enoch, I know I say it differently from you.
How do you say it?
You make a cut.
Yeah.
But you all know what I'm talking about. In their books, they tell us what Enoch was doing when he was taken up to God. Now, first of all, the name Enoch, it comes from the Hebrew word chinuch, which means to educate. He's an educator. That's his name, the educator. And in the book of Enoch, he's taken up to God in order to get
knowledge, wisdom.
The calendar.
Oh, the calendar. Oh, yeah, yeah.
300, you said it, 365. Yeah. But the Enoch calendar only has 364 days. Amazing.
I wonder if he was traveling.
But the Enoch calendar that has 364 days is even more amazing because it's exactly divided into 4 times 91. Each season is 91 days. Okay? We're going to be the next group for the film after that. So I'm not going to give you all the answers just yet. I do want you to see the film first. But I do want you to realize that amongst those scrolls found here, if they'd have found Enoch before they found the community scroll, they would probably have come to a whole different decision.
Yeah.
They found the community scroll. They found this place that looks like people are living in a community. They put the two and two together and they came to the famous 22. Now, I'm having a lot of problem with the girl in the office there because she said come at 3:30 and now she said come a few minutes later. So we're going to just walk down there, make our presence known.
Yeah.
Can Mama's children be banned?
Yeah.
Can you walk like that? Okay, let's go.